Good morning, everyone. Hope you're all doing well and having a great Sabbath. It's always a pleasure to be with you, to be able to say a few words. And I want to thank Harmony for that beautiful melody there, because of what it, the meaning that it has, that God has love for her, but it has love for all of us too. So that's always so important to understand and to be reminded of at all times. Mr. and Mrs. Welch have been friends for a long time, back in the Ambassador College, and they haven't changed in many ways, especially because of how much they serve, how much they care, and, you know, they just are very enthusiastic. Barb especially, I mean, she's so fired up all the time, you know. She was that way back in Ambassador College, but both of them work so well together, and they're a great team. So I'm so happy to be with them here in Cincinnati. Well, if you would turn with me to Luke 22, verse 31. Luke 22, verse 31. You know, prior to their conversion, I think it could safely be said that Jesus Christ's 12 apostles were perhaps overly idealistic, because they really didn't know fully what Jesus Christ was doing, his message, or his purpose. They tried the best they could, but one thing they were was great enthusiasm. They had a lot of enthusiasm for young men. You know, they were ready to take on the world, you might say. But again, they didn't entirely comprehend what they were getting into. The disciple Simon, who later Jesus named Peter, was one of the most lively, you might say, of his followers. And Simon boasted one time that he would follow Jesus to prison and to death. And that's a couple of verses after the one we're going to read here. But what did Jesus tell him after Simon said that? Luke 21, 22, verse 31. The Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith does not fail." Did Jesus see something in Simon's character that impelled him to pray for that Peter's faith wouldn't be shattered, that it wouldn't fail? Perhaps, you know, you might think about it too, but what about the other disciples, the other apostles? Did he see something like that in them as well, to a degree? And possibly, could this affect the church today, the possibility of one's faith failing? Satan and this corrupted world are working overtime to, in an effort to destroy the devotion, the conviction, and the faith of God's people. And there are various methods designed by the devil for this terrible purpose. These include, this is just several of them, but bitterness, disobedience, covetousness, lethargy, and discouragement. Now, there's others as well, but today we're going to examine this faith-killing attitude of discouragement. Indeed, it is a faith killer if we're not very careful. But the good news is discouragement can be defeated. So to learn how we can accomplish this, we're going to look into the instruction manual that's sitting on your lap right now or on your phone, the Bible. The sermon title today is Defeating Discouragement. So when we think of the word discourage, doesn't it actually define itself quite clearly? Think about it. Discourage. The prefix dis means without, to deprive, to exclude. Discouragement can be described as being downhearted, dispirited, demoralized. There are other adjectives for that as well. But discouragement is a very powerful negative force that can stifle growth. It can drain enthusiasm from a person. It can inhibit drive. It can disorient a person's mind. Can be very upsetting. I'd like to give you a personal example. Many years ago, as a member of God's church, I was encountered with a circumstance that led me into a period of profound discouragement. I had lost my job due to an organizational cutback, and after an initial flurry of activity, trying to find a new job, things weren't going very well. Indeed, I had begun my employment search with high hopes and a very positive attitude, but after time passed on and on, things just turned sour. Although I took temporary jobs to keep food on the table for the family, the kids put it on the table. But after so many months, I mean, I was just getting down about it. Hunting for a job just proved fruitless. Seemed like nothing but bad news and disappointment were my lot. As this ordeal lengthened, the optimism that I had from the beginning failed to continue, and I found myself more and more getting down in the dumps. The dictionary defines discouragement as being deprived of courage, mentioned that, hope or confidence, to become disheartened. And that is exactly how I felt. I mean, I've been discouraged before, but I mean, that really hit me hard. And it, you know, you have a family to take care of, and you're just trying to make ends meet, the whole thing, and it really put me in a bad situation there. It wasn't until much later when things finally turned around that I attained the job that I really liked, that discouragement finally disappeared. Perhaps my example could imitate, at least to a small degree, the human condition. And considering it's likely that, you know, the vast majority of us right here in this room have been discouraged at various times in our life. And it's likely that someone here, more than one, could be in that situation at this very moment, right now, right here. In this regard, what are some sources of discouragement in society today? Well, let's begin with marriage and family. Marriage and family problems, they can bring on some of the greatest struggles that people endure. The family, why is that? It wasn't always that way to this degree, but today the family, the basic unit of society, is not always the place of warmth and security that it might have used to be. Rather, it can be one of strife and conflict and contention for both adults and children, and can lead to discouragement and even depression. You know, another major source of discouragement can be financial hardship. Think of what's happening in our society today. Many people are having a difficult time paying expenses, meeting obligations, and that can cause a lot of upset and discouragement. It's very telling. You see, read, watch the news, if you hear the interviews that people are on television today, and they're not very happy about things like this. Another source of discouragement can be failure due to other small or major issues, many different things that could happen. After trying hard, for example, to reach a particular goal or to accomplish an important project, failure to do so can lead to being very discouraged. Some people try to ignore their failures, and they cover them up, you know, drugs and drinking and whatever else, and that's no good. But it happens. May give them a little lift for a while, but they're still got the same problems. Also, criticism by others for failing. Hey, you failed at that. Could be parents, supervisors, or even one's mate. That can result in discouragement, which can stop a person from further trying or changing or overcoming. Moreover, sometimes it's not failure itself, but the fear of failure that can cause discouragement and can be very difficult. It could be problems at school or work, wherever it happens to be. Now, regarding what's happening, let's say regarding students in school, you know, they may be suffering from poor grades. You know, I didn't get the best grades in school when I was a youngster, and I heard it from my parents pretty often, you know, and that didn't help me. You know, it didn't really help. You've got to get those better grades up, you know, and I'd try. Maybe that's happened to you in the past. Maybe you were a good student and you didn't have to deal with that. Another problem can be people being uncooperative at work, or you have a supervisor that's putting a lot of pressure on you. And that can be, and maybe there's, like Dr. Fauch was talking about, there's words that are being used that can crush a person, can knock them down. That happens today too. Results also from troubled relationships with others. He referred to that. Relationships are so important. For example, maybe ties with a good friend became strained or broken, or a confidence was shattered. Or even worse, could be the betrayal of a mate who committed adultery or some other action. Furthermore, a person may have been building a friendship with a member of the opposite sex and thought it was leading to marriage, and the relationship was growing, and it seemed, but then it was broken, leaving disappointment and discouragement behind. All of these are deep hurts that don't always go away easily. And especially you think about children, when they are going through these things, they depend on their parents, they depend on their friends. When they are knocked down like that, it's hard to get up, and they may cover it up. Another major cause of discouragement can be prolonged illness or chronic illness. Although a church member does his or her best to commit that situation to God, the expected result doesn't come. It's hard to wait when you're hurting, when you're in pain like that. So discouragement at not being healed quickly can result in loss of faith if one is not very careful. An additional reason for discouragement can be spiritual weakness. Sometimes brethren feel inadequate in trying to overcome their spiritual shortcomings. When the same problem, though, afflicts them month after month or year after year, when little progress is being made in overcoming, it can lead to frustration and discouragement. One more significant source of discouragement is the death of a loved one. Dr. Fauch mentioned that, too. Death of a loved one, a mate, or a child. This distress can leave a person feeling so deeply hurt and empty and in a state of discouragement, and it's so hard to face and to overcome because death is an enemy and it shuts that person off. There's no more hope left. So it's very difficult to do that. So that can be a faith killer as well. Let's turn to 1 Kings 19, verse 4, if you would. 1 Kings 19, verse 4. So it's clear that true Christians are not immune from confronting and having to deal with discouragement. It comes from in many forms and from many sources. And those of us in God's church have been preceded in the faith by many servants of God who were not strangers to discouragement. One of those men was the prophet and patriarch Elijah. You know, following a victory over the priests of the false god Baal, Elijah became discouraged. He even became perhaps depressed after having been threatened by the bloodthirsty, powerful Queen Jezebel. And in this passage we read, we find Elijah sitting dejectedly under a tree in the desert, no longer wanting to live. A prophet of God. 1 Kings 19, verse 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, "It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I'm no better than my fathers." Talk about being discouraged. So here was one of God's very prophets in that situation. Also, another giant of the faith, the Apostle Paul, wrote about how he became pressed down and burdened by a tormenting and discouraging health issue. And he described it as a messenger of Satan. That's from 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. Anyway, his trouble was so severe that he begged God three times to remove this painful affliction, which may have been an eye problem, some type of sight problem. We don't know exactly, but there was Apostle Paul, and he was, you can imagine how that discouraging that might have been for him, considering the heavy load that he was carrying, to try to reach people, to help people. Another example is the Apostle Peter, who stoutly maintained that he would remain faithful to Jesus Christ, even though all the others would deny him. Remember, he's a pretty enthusiastic guy, you know. But when the pressure mounted, Peter denied Jesus Christ and went out and wept in bitter discouragement after that. It was, you know, when he was watching Christ being beat up in the presence of the high priests. He was accused of following him, and he went out. He denied him. Imagine how he must have felt. Pretty down in the dumps. Isaiah 53, verse 3, if you go there. Isaiah 53, verse 3. Even Jesus Christ experienced sorrow and heartache. We read an Old Testament prophecy here about this in Isaiah 53, verse 3. He said, "He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted." Plus, Jesus endured tremendous pressure and strain and anxiety there in the Garden of Gethsemane and the night before his crucifixion, asking God, "Can you remove this from me?" God said, "No, you're going to have to do it." I wonder what he was feeling. And all his disciples were off sleeping, and he was all alone, except for that relationship with the Father that he had. But he was human. Did he feel that discouragement at that moment? So what does this all mean for you and me? It means that these men, I must mention, they were able to overcome these situations. That's the good news. But what it can mean for us, that there is a way out of discouragement. We don't have to stay in it. There is a way out. Jesus Christ, who lives to help us, can fully comprehend and identify with us when we go through these situations, these troubling times, since he understood the pressure that we endure when we're discouraged in that way. In fact, as God created all human beings with this capacity to experience emotion, right? We all have it. And we know it can fluctuate from day after day, you know, up and down in different ways. Discouragement and disappointment can come when reality does not conform to our hopes and expectations. You know, I like to tell my wife, well, that's just the way it is. You know, something happens and you have to accept it, but it's not as easy as all that, is it? Because we have to readjust. Our expectations and our hopes are dashed for whatever reason. It's hard. These are not easy things. Discouragement and disappointment can come when reality doesn't conform to what we had expected. So yes, discouragement is simply a fact of life. On top of that, we live in a world that is not of God's making. The Bible explains that the world's systems are not designed by God. The world is full of competition and selfishness, and it's been built and is being run by the devil. He's behind all this. How does he rule? He rules by malicious, selfish, covetous ways. And we see the evidence all around us in the world, and it's getting worse. The fact is, Satan is humanity's and our worst enemy. He saturates the world with poisonous hatred and hostility and rebellion by covertly broadcasting these damaging approaches and attitudes to humans through thoughts and moods and feelings. They don't even know what's happening to them. But we do, right? We should know that. That's one of the greatest blessings that we have in being a part of God's church today. One of those, many. But he's very evil, I mean, complete evil. So he is really the foremost cause of discouragement today for us and for the world. He's like a devious snake, you might think, say. He's watching and aware of, and he wants to ensnare people at their weakest points when they're least expected and when they're caught off guard, right? That's when these things can hit people, and he's looking for those times. He's looking constantly seeing what we're doing, what we're thinking. Satan is relentless at disrupting and dismantling relationships as well. Dr. Fauci again mentioned that, relationships. And Satan wants to destroy the relationships that we have with each other. He wants to undermine those and in an effort to destroy the faith that we have in God. And this strategy will, in fact, increase exponentially in the time shortly before Jesus Christ's second coming, when persecution will become intense. So that's why we need to learn to be close together today, to pray for one another, because those days are going to come when we'll be all under intense persecution. We need to be preparing for what Paul said in 2 Timothy 2, verse 3. He said, endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We have to be toughened up. We have to be preparing ourselves mentally and spiritually for what's going to happen tomorrow, but also what will happen down in the future, as prophecy reveals. Paul said in Ephesians 6, verse 10 and 11, I'll just read it, we must put on the whole armor of God and be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So we won't become discouraged. So we won't lose faith. So we won't fail at the most difficult times of our lives. So we got to keep that in mind. We must never let Satan go into our heart so that we can lose heart and give up and forsake God and his church. And that has happened in the past. We've seen it. Perhaps we have friends that have bailed out at times. We cannot let that happen to us. And that's that relationship that we have with each other and with our great God and Jesus Christ. So I'd like to illustrate this with a tale about the devil. seems that the devil wanted to go out of business. And he decided to sell all his tools. On the day of the sale, all of them were attractively displayed. Among the tools for sale included hatred, envy, cruelty, jealousy, greed, sensuality, and deceit, and other tools like that. Plus, he had this wedge-shaped tool, which looked as if it had been used more frequently than all the others. Someone said, asked the devil, he said, well, what's this particular tool? The devil answered, that's discouragement. But, asked the onlooker, why is it priced so much higher than all of your other tools? Because, said Satan, with that tool I can pry open and get inside a person's heart when I couldn't get near with any of these other tools. Then the devil said, once discouragement gets inside, all the other tools work even better. So there's a little tale there for you, revealing that discouragement is a powerful and well-used tool of Satan the devil. Even so, we need to realize that discouragement can also be self-imposed. Sometimes people see goals and tasks that they want to achieve as being so overwhelming to be virtually impossible to reach. As a result, they become frightened about all the complexities and responsibilities, and they wonder if they can even handle it. It may be involve school, you know, maybe trying to get better grades. I remember what that was like as a kid. It was hard at that time. It may involve relationships, employment, marriage, child rearing, financial obligations, all of which seem like huge mountains to climb. The tendency for some is just to give up and quit. Considering these and other issues, if we are suffering discouragement, how can we find our way out of it? That's the key. How do we do that? How can we defeat discouragement when it strikes? As I mentioned earlier, discouragement generates powerful emotions, but we don't have to be held prisoner by those emotions. We can conquer discouragement, and it doesn't take intricate or complex solutions to do it. One important point to consider, however, is that it cannot always be accomplished by our human willpower or desire. I mean, humans are trying to do that all the time, aren't they? But you and I know that we have a great support system here. But that's God. That's his faith. That's the trust that we have in him. And we can call upon him when others in the world don't have that. Let's examine a few ways by which discouragement can be overcome. Number one, set measurable personal goals. To lead a productive life, it's valuable to set these goals to reach for them every day. When we do this at work, you know, maybe at school, and we set a track record of success, we are building ourselves up and working at it, this helps us. Can work at, and even for those who are retired. Maybe there's a time where someone retires. I remember getting in an elevator recently at a doctor's office, and this man, a couple guys were talking about retirement, and the guy in the back of the elevator, he said something to the effect that he's so bored. You know, he just worked his entire life, but he didn't have any plan for retirement afterwards. That's important right there. Because see, that's an enemy of faith, even at that point. You think you made it. You've been in the church 50 years. But then, what now? What am I going to do? Also, sadly, people sometimes have good intentions to resolve to do their best. But when they meet unexpected challenges, again, they give up and quit. And that can bring discouragement on and can stifle further growth. So having measurable measurable personal goals is important, and it brings another critical way to defeat discouragement, which is focusing on the kingdom of God. Now, that's number one for us, right? But we got to keep that focus constantly. To obtain, we want to be in the kingdom of God. We want to be born into the family of God. And to attain it, we have to apply the words of Colossians 3, verse 2, which says, I'll read it for you, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And as Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So there are other goals you can have, but that's got to be number one. That's got to be the thing that you think about all, even when you're trying to reach for these other goals. So God wants us to prosper. He wants us to live abundant lives now. But you always have to keep in mind that these physical things aren't going to last. And we, you know, this is a transitory physical life. We kind of think, well, this is it, you know, this is what we got. No, it's just the beginning. It's just setting the stage for something better, the kingdom of God, everlasting life. So God has chosen us, and he's set us apart for this purpose, and he intends to put us in his family. Are we cooperating with him to the degree that he wants us to? That's the question. That great goal can help us better handle the many issues that we deal with in life and put them into the correct perspective. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good. All things. For those who love God. To those who are called according to his purpose. So all of us can be in the kingdom of God. So we have our part to play. We have to have that relationship with him and make sure that it is number one every day. Of course, this verse doesn't mean that situations that we face in life are going to be easy. It doesn't mean it's good to have lost a mate. No, it's not good. Or any other potentially discouraging situation. It simply means that any difficult circumstance can work for our good if we meet the challenges properly and ask God to guide us through them all. So he's there with us. We can't think, well, where are you, God? No, he's there with us at all times. But we have to be proactive. That brings us to the next point in helping defeat discouragement, to be positive. To be positive. Psalm 92, verse 1, if you turn there. Psalm 92, verse 1. Human natures can sometimes dwell on the negative, you know, especially when things aren't going well. Plus, there's a tendency to feel sorry for oneself or feel trapped by circumstances. But think about this. When we center on our great Creator God and know that he has the best in mind for us, we already are in an advantageous position. The world doesn't know what we know, but we have an advantage that God has given us, even when we face these trials and difficulties. So there is no real reason that we should be negative. You know, we're going to feel that once in a while, though, when we're down. We're going through a real tough time. Psalm 92, verse 4 says, for you, O Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. So the marvelous privilege of being a part of God's church and work is worth every difficulty that we endure, since we know that in the end we will achieve victory over any discouraging event or time. Hebrews 12, verse 12 says this. I'll read it. Therefore, strengthen the hands that hang down. He wouldn't say that if it doesn't happen, right? Strengthen the hands that hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet. Why? so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. See, you're focusing on healing and getting better and having that relationship with God. So having that positive attitude and knowing that God is our ideal partner, we can surmount any discouraging situation through and by the mental, emotional, and spiritual help that he will provide to us. And he does it generously because we're his kids. You know, you do the best, you do everything for your kids, right? Well, we're his kids, and he's going to help us in every way. But sometimes, like with your children, you can't give them things they're not good for them at the time. He has the same thing. He thinks it that way. Well, I'll get to that. You're going to have to learn the hard way for a while to learn some lessons here. I remember telling our kids that. Another means to employ to defeat discouragement is to serve others. Discouragement can sometimes begin and hang on when we focus exclusively on ourselves. I remember when I was looking for employment, I still remember walking around the house just like a zombie. I just felt, where am I going to get some help here? How can I get out of this prison that I'm in? And I was all internally focused at that time. Constantly thinking and worrying about our own problems and fears and concerns can overload our mind, and so discouraging thoughts and problems can seem to overwhelm us. A tremendous way to get out of that situation is to look for ways to help others. When we are affected by discouraging thoughts, you think, well, it's hard. When you're down, are you going to help other people? Yeah, that's a way to do it, to think about other people. Hebrews 10, verse 24 says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Maybe it could be a matter of visiting somebody who's sick, cheering up someone who themselves is feeling down. It might be sending a card of encouragement, taking someone out to dinner, or visiting a person who is in need or lonely. And I know we do a lot of that here. You know, these are just reminders that when we're in that situation, to kind of look outside of ourselves. Just think about those who are really needing some help when we wouldn't have normally done that. And that can be a very great healing thing for ourselves. Consider how hard it is to stay discouraged when we're in that situation, we're reaching out to other people. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11 says this. It's from the New International Version. It says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as, in fact, you are doing. Another powerful key to dealing with discouragement is to be patient. Be patient. Through the trials and discouraging times that we face, and we're going to face them, and we are facing them, we need to be patient with ourselves and with God. Sometimes God allows us to stay in these difficult situations to test us, to try our faith. He does this so that we can be built up in our character, and we can have that develop that spiritual endurance and strength that we need, perhaps even to help other people. 1 Peter 1, verse 6, you don't need to turn there, but it says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Why? Verse 7 goes on, it says, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation, the return of Jesus Christ. That's why. God doesn't do anything without a good reason for it. So growth takes time and effort. It's not a speedy process, so we've got to be patient with ourselves. Not to expect too much, perhaps, too fast, but to have that relationship with God and knowing that he's going to help in these situations. James chapter 4, verse, chapter 1, verse 4 says, let patience have her perfect work. Why? That you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. Psalm 31, verse 22, if you turn there. Psalm 31, verse 22. So again, we need to be patient and not be quick to judge ourselves. We have to judge ourselves, yes, but kind of be more kind of, okay, we'll get through this thing. I'm just a human being, you know, and we got these issues to deal with. So we got to be patient with ourselves. Interestingly, King David became impatient with himself. He said here in Psalm 31, verse 22, for I said in my haste, I am cut off from before your eyes. But then he says, nevertheless, you heard my voice, the voice of my supplications when I cried out to you. So he was impatient, but God heard him. So God is full of compassion and understanding and mercy, as David says a couple of verses later in verse 24. He says, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all of you who hope in the Lord. So our Creator is willing to respond and strengthen us, provided we obey him and we put faith in him. We exercise that faith, and we may know how important that faith in him is, and that we take the steps that are needed to manage our discouraging situation, because, you know, he expects us to do our part. What are we going to be doing in the kingdom of God? We're going to be solving lots of problems. So we have problems now. Let's learn from them. Let's put them to use so we can really be helpful to people in the future. Another vital means at our disposal is prayer and Bible study. I guess nothing new here, right? But this is so important. These are crucial tools in defeating discouragement. Without employing them, our attitudes can be battered by the assaults of the world and Satan. Satan's leveling them at us. He's looking for us. He's trying to find a way in. He's using that tool. Will we let him? Philippians 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, Paul writes, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And what's going to happen? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. In John 16, verse 33, if you turn there, John 16, verse 33. You know, we know God speaks through the scriptures here. And we can have his help to defeat discouragement by the stabilizing and strengthening tool of Bible study, accompanied by faithful prayer and then meditation on what we're reading. Jesus said here in John 16, verse 33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He's already done it. The Bible contains many wonderfully encouraging, inspiring stories, as we know. These include examples of faithful people who faced discouragement, as I mentioned earlier, and they surmounted the problems. And they did that through God and his Holy Spirit. So the more we read the scriptures, the more we pray, the more we can take on the mind of God. Paul said, pray without ceasing. So are we doing that? Have that relationship with God. He's on our side. He comprehends what we're going through. Jesus Christ knows. He understands our situations. Plus, Bible study and prayer are essential in building sound-minded, uplifting thoughts as a means of dealing with this discouragement. You have to be positive, and you have to be thinking then that way. Another and final means of defeating discouragement is to cultivate good relationships. Developing and nurturing friendships and relationships is vital for our physical and spiritual well-being. Dr. Fauci mentioned relationships. Again, I'll just bring back what he said. A book entitled Depression, this is another subject though, but it applies here. This is from an author, Dorothy Rowe. She said this, the book she wrote entitled The Way Out of Your Prison, on page 99, she said, you have to find people to confide in, and you have to overcome the habit of keeping things to yourself. I think a lot of guys are that way. We do that, you know. I'm tough, you know. No, she's saying don't do that. You know, share your feelings. Lean on another person's shoulder. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9, the New International Version says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him. So we need to open up and let a few trusted individuals in so they can share our load. They can pray for us. They can help us get things off our chests when we need to. That applies to guys, but all ladies too. Ladies are a little bit better with a relationship thing, right? Which is good. You know, maybe that's guys can learn from you. Of course, it's important to point out that discouragement can, in some cases, lead to depression and anxiety, even though other avenues have been tried. In this regard, there are very helpful videos, interviews, and sermons and articles on our ucg.org website, which can be found under the term depression or other keywords. And these authors, they're great. Dr. Fauci has written on this subject, and Andy Chapman, Darris McNeely, Peter Eddington, Gary Antion, George DeCampos, Gary Petty, John Seforek, and many others. Just go there, and I mean, if you're in that situation where you're kind of beyond, you're in that depression area, go there and read some of that, but also talk to people. And the ministry is there. I don't want to forget the ministry. Mention something about Mark. I was sending out, for years, I was sending out the prayer requests for all the pastors throughout the United States and the world. And who was the one who had more prayer requests than any other? It's Mark Welch. And he's still doing that today, as you know, in your inbox. So he understands the power of prayer. And, I mean, he had several churches down there in Oklahoma, but he was sending more than anybody else. I mean, that was just my perception, because I was doing that. So you know, there's also good information from other health professionals that not in the church too, and if depression gets to that point, those people need to be contacted as well. We might want to mention that as well. So it's clear that Satan and his society are working overtime to destroy the faith of God's people by various means, including through discouragement, as we covered today. The fact is, all of us, each of us, can be subjected to discouragement from time to time, but it can be defeated by employing the guidelines covered today. So if we apply those points with God's powerful help through His Holy Spirit, we can and will defeat discouragement.